Sister Lucy and I, we are delighted to be with you this afternoon, brethren. And I can see I have two jobs. One is to speak to you, and the other job to keep you awake. We so much appreciated the fellowship last night over the Fanette. The wonderful food. And I didn't anticipate there was going to be the cherry festival. And we also appreciated so much the fellowship and the hospitality of Sister Bernice and Brother David. And also the beautiful fellowship we had with Brother Johnson. I never realized that Canada is so beautiful. I'm thinking of moving to Canada. The friends in Connecticut, they all wish to be remembered to you. They send their love. And this afternoon, with the Lord's help and your prayers, I have a message for you, which is good and also which is bad. And we're going to open our humble thoughts based on the books of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and 8. So when they came together, that is the disciple, there's Jesus, is the Lord, a question. Very interesting question. They says to him, Lord, will be at this time that the kingdom will be restored. I'm reading from the Revised Standard. He was talking about the kingdom of Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know times and seasons, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The tragedy which frightened the people of Judea when the Savior of the world died on the cross was also an emotional and disappointed event in the heart of Jesus' disciples. And also it was a great test to their faith when Jesus was put to death. The one who they believed that was going to be the Messiah was put to death by his enemies. And this indeed was an event which they did not expect. Even in one of his parables, Jesus indicated to them that he was going to go away to a foreign country and receive a kingdom and then return. But they didn't comprehend it, the meaning of the parable. And after his resurrection and during his appearance to them on the Mount of the Olives, the disciples remember the parable of the noble men who went away to a far country to receive a kingdom and then return. And upon the basis of this thinking, they asked Jesus the question, Lord will at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel. The answer that Jesus gave to the disciple appeared to be a very good answer and very good admonitions, and strongly emphasize to them and to us not to put much emphasis on chronology and date, because if we put too much emphasis on chronology and date, there is a possibility that we will be disappointed. So he did not give them a direct answer to the question, but the Lord gave them many prophetic signs in the event which would come about prior to his return. And of all his prophetic events and sign for the Lord's people, was given to them sort of an orientation to the stream of time. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul wrote to 1 Thessalonians 5:44, "But ye brethren," he says, "are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." And of all the prophecy that Jesus gave to the disciple, there is one which should be of a great encouragement to us, because we have seen that specific prophecy being fulfilled in our own days. It is found in Matthew 24:32-33. Jesus said unto them, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, putteth forth leaves, he know that the summer is a night. So likewise when he shall see all these things, know that is near, even at the door." This prophecy of the fig tree, the parrot, is very fundamental, and it has a great significance for us as a student of the Bible. And we know that the fig tree represents the nation of Israel. Also, God, in the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, showed the prophet two baskets of fig tree before the temple. One basket was very good figs that were ripe. The other basket had a very bad figs which could not be eaten. Verse 5 of chapter 24 reads, "Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, like those good figs, so I will acknowledge them that I carry away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out over this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good." First stage of the prophecy. Second stage of the prophecy, verse 6. "For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up." Third stage of the prophecy, verse 7. "And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. They shall return unto me with a whole heart." We suggest that the second part of the stage of the prophecy was fulfilled Because on May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation among nations, and the door was open for them, that is for the Jew, to return to the land of Palestine. They did not return to their land at any specific time or any time in the history, human history, but a specific prophetic time, according to the Bible, the last days, a period of tribulations. How do we know that? We look into the book of Deuteronomy 4:26-31, which reads, "When thou art in tribulations, and all these things come upon thee, even in the latter days, for the Lord thy God is merciful, he will not forsake thee." When you think over, brethren, it took the tribulation and the savage killing of 6 million Jews during the Second World War to set in motion, so to speak, the return of the other millions of Jews into the land of their fathers. According to the account of Luke 21:24, Jesus said that Jerusalem shall be thrown down over the Gentile until the time over the Gentile be fulfilled. The time of the Gentile in the prophecy is the period of time during which the Jewish people would have no independence or independent government or their own, and of course they did not. We know the word Jerusalem referred to the Jewish nations. And what Jesus said, it means that the entire nation will be subject to Gentile dominations. And that time will continue until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. And we know that the prophecy of the Gentile time was to have a period of 2,520 years in length. How do we know this? We learn this from the prophecy recorded in Leviticus 26:17-18, which read, "I will set my face against you, Israel, and he shall be slain before your enemy. They that they hate you shall reign over you, and he shall flee when none pursueth." This, of course, is the reference to the punishment which the Lord inflicted upon his people prior to the captivity in Babylon. Then the prophecy continued, "And I will not yet for all hearken unto them, and I will punish you 7 times. I will punish you 7 times more for your sin." This 7 times more is in reality a time prophecy. It bases on the ancient Jewish year over 360 days. In which, according to the symbolic time measurement, each day is counted for a year. This then would be a period over 2,520 years. It began when the Jews were taken captive into Babylon in the year of 606 BC. And its determination would therefore be in A.D. 1914. That was the year when the First World War began. And out of that war, they came for the first time of many centuries, the opportunity for them, for the Jewish people, to to return to the land of their father. In 1918 came the Balfour Declaration, then the League of the Nation mandate, then the devastation of the Second World War, and the destruction of the evil men such as Hitler, because we know that him and the Nazi regime system, they had in mind to completely exterminate the Jewish people out of the face of the earth. Finally, the United Nations, despite some opposition, approved the establishment of Israel in 1948 as a nation among nations. Here you are, the prophecy that are being fulfilled. And today, Israel is a free nation, but not a nation of peace. In 48 years since Israel became a free nation, Israel has not known one single day of peace. It has suffered in four wars, 1948, 1956, 1967, 1973, plus the continual terrorism attack by hostile nations around them. My brethren, could it be that the Lord will use this new president, Benjamin, Brother Ed, how you pronounce that name? Netanyahu, to be the tool that the world will bring all the nation, all the world, to the valley of Jehoshaphat? Israel is completely surrounded by friendly people. The only door open to them is the Mediterranean Sea. And her enemy will allow nothing better than to push them into the sea. But God will not allow them to do that. They are there to stay. The Arabs say that Israel is just like a cancer, which must be removed. Israel says the Arabs' country are a running sore in the body of a civilization. With the spirit of hate, will there ever be a peace among them? The answer is no. Only the Messiah can bring peace in their region and also throughout the world. This new president made it very clear that there is no land for peace. He will not give the Golan Heights to Syria. There will be no Palestinian state west of the Jordan River. And Jerusalem shall never be divided. Whether he changes his mind, we don't know. But the situation is very, very dangerous. The Arab world eventually will face him with guns. And perhaps the prophet that state could be that we are approaching on the prophecy, the fulfillment of the prophet Joel 3:1-2, which read, "For behold, in these days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captive of Judah in Jerusalem, I will also gather all the nations, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will plead with them for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted the land." Then in Revelation 16:16 we read, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. See also Zephaniah 3, 8, 9. Jesus in the book of Matthew 24, 21, 22, very clear state that there will be a great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Unless those days are shortened, all mankind shall perish. But they will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen people. This statement over Jesus indicates a period of time could be such a point of intensity that the destruction of Jerusalem, of the civilization, would be unavoidable unless God intervened. And the outcome of this trouble will be the establishment of the long period kingdom of God. Now we all know that it will be during the millennial age that Jesus and the little flock, their mission is to bless people on the earth and eventually bring them again in harmony, in relationship with God, with the Creator. But even today, because of the remaining member of the little flock, who because of their virtue and their prayer to God, God himself refrained from not destroying the entire human race. So we can see that even today, part of the humanity will be spared for whom? For the sake of the little flock. God's love, great love for his people, has always been the same. You recall that even in the Old Testament, because of his love for his faithful servant, the Lord spared the Israelites from destruction. We read in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, that the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and in a way against God himself. Then God almost destroyed the Israelites, for we read in verse 11 and 12, he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me? For all signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. This is what the Lord wanted to do. And he would have done it. But Moses intervened. And what did he say to God? Pardon, I beseech thee, the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt until now. We can see that because of the faithfulness of Moses and his intimate relationship with God, God will refrain from destroying that people. And there will be the same thing today, that for the elect, for the sake of the elect, God will not destroy the entire human race. According to the flesh, the prophetic destruction of this great time of trouble is scaring. It is very scaring. But we as faithful Christians do not fear. We read in book on Psalm 46, 1, 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, although the earth may be removed, and although the mountains may be carried into the midst of the sea, we do not fear. The Lord's people do not fear because they know that the ultimate outcome of the time of trouble will be the establishment of the long promised kingdom of God, which has been in the lips of every Christian since the gospel age began. And we are glad that soon the world shall see the majesty of the glory of God and also His love for humanity. We can say that by faith we stand on a mountaintop, and beneath we see the trouble. We see a valley of darkness and the storm of selfishness and human passions everywhere. In Revelation 16 chapter, under the symbol of the great battle of an earthquake, we have a clear picture of the complete destruction of the present institution politically and also religiously. This demolition has to take a place to clear ground for the new government under the administration of the King of Kings, Christ. In the fulfillment of this prophetic picture, the new government take control and will direct the battle of Armageddon, which, symbolically speaking, is the mount of destruction. And according to the forecast, the revelation, the previous preparation for this conflict includes the gathering of all the kings of the earth and all the governments of the world to the battle of the great day of the Almighty God. Their interest in the conflict, brethren, is the right to reign and also to exploit their fellow men and also the great vast deposit of oil in the region. Oil is the problem. From Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, from Zechariah 14 and Jeremiah 30, we may gain a fair picture of what the future may hold as a time of trouble developed. In Jeremiah 30, we seem to have a picture of the regathering of Israel to Palestine. In the time, the Bible says, in the time of sore distress. And this, as we know, has come about, as we have mentioned before. Now then, the 38th chapter of Ezekiel prophecy describes how the merciless Gog from the north and Magog from Europe and the Arab world will unite their force. For what reason? Not only to protect the oil deposit in the region, but also to destroy the little nation of Israel. And this is their missions. It doesn't matter how much they will give in. To them, there will be no answer to their problems. Their aim is specifically to destroy the little nation of Israel. In Zechariah, the 14th chapter, we have another picture of the final attack on Israel in their own land, and an intimation that the final overthrow of their enemy may involve the turning against themselves. In other words, in a way, they will fight among themselves instead of fighting Israel. The Lord will do that. Because in Zechariah 14, 12, and 13, we have a remarkable picture of how this will take a place, we read. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Who is Jerusalem? The nation of Israel. Then he continued to say, very scary, said, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great confusion from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the end of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. If you read the history when Jerusalem was conquered by the Roman general in AD 70, the Roman general knew, was familiar with the Israelites, that they were to go into Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. So he waited until they all got into the city over Jerusalem, and then he closed the wall, so to speak, surrounded the wall over Jerusalem. History tells us that there are over 2 million of the people, the Jewish people, die under the hand of the Roman general. Starvation everywhere. And they, because of starvation, they kill one another. And this will take a place again when the last day, when the Armageddon will take a place. The different thing is that then the Jewish people suffer. But this time it will be all the nation according to the prophecy, which the Lord will cause them to fight one another and against each other and not against the God's people. Then after that terrible day, God's, his mighty power will be recognized and sanctified by the eyes of Israel and led up by the eyes and the stand of all mankind. And we have a beautiful prophecy in the book of, if I can find it. Listen to this prophecy. Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in all the nation which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from the year to year to worship God, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the feast of the tabernacle. And it shall come to pass that everyone that was left, everyone that was survived, then they recognize the King of a King, and then they will to worship him, because there will be, he will be manifested that he was God. He was a God that brought the destruction of all the nations that came against Israel in Jerusalem. I can just imagine what a day there will be. In Jeremiah, let's see, we also. Then again, in Zechariah 12:9-11, we are told that they shall look upon whom, who will they have appearance, and they shall mourn him as for their son. Who was the one whose they appeared? It was a Jesus. And they shall look for him, because there was no way to escape. The only salvation for them is the Messiah, which they have rejected. There is no way out. The salvation for them is the Messiah, which they have rejected. And they're long looking for the Messiah in the person of Lord Jesus and his faithful church. Then we be recognized by them as a Jehovah instrumentality for the establishment of the kingdom for which we pray every single day. Now then, by accepting Jesus as their king and obey the law of God's kingdom, they, the Israelites, and all the people of the earth will enjoy peace and life throughout eternity, but not until then. Now then, the prophecy pertaining to the presence of the Lord and the destruction of Satan are not in the Bible, my dear brethren, to frighten us, but they are in the Bible to encourage us. And we are delighted to know that as we approach the end of this evil system, And very soon God's kingdom will be established for the blessing of the family of the earth. And a joy and peace will be manifest among the people toward the earth. This should be an incentive for us to know this, to know the plan of God, to know what the Lord is going to do in relation not only with the Israelites, but also with the whole world. And we know that in the imperfect body, there is nothing we can do to make God rich or poor. But He will be pleased when we, with zeal and enthusiasm, proclaim to the world the gospel of the kingdom and tell the whole world that after the time of trouble, peace and tranquility will be established by the mighty hand of God. Remember, brethren, that we are not called by God simply to deliver from sin and death. But in addition to them, God has called the new creation to prepare them for the blessing, to be used as a channel for the blessings of all the people of the earth. In other words, brethren, there will be no rocking chairs in the kingdom. There will be not 144 rocking chairs. There will be a job to be completed to bring, like the brother mentioned this morning, the people in harmony with God. We know that in this mechanized industry, oil is one of the most important elements in the world nations. And what people are concerned, the civilized world, is that if the oil ever being cut off by the Arab nations, they will paralyze the globe economy and the whole world will stop. Then there is the bitter heat against Israel. They don't like the presence there in Israel. And we as a student of the Bible, the prophecy, were interested in all that developed related to the Jewish nation, because we know that the event that will take place in the land of Israel are a prophetic event. And the Lord will have to accomplish the blessings of humanity through this people to the Holy Land. And of course we know that this is not an easy thing to do. And we can see that in a temple we made by the Arab world, which we shall see this, to organize a solid block, and all of them are determined to destroy by force the nation of Israel. And we as a Christian deplore the enemy because we know they're selfish and cruel. On the other side, we have we as a Christian, we will not take a side, because we know that even the Arab world eventually will be blessed. But in due time, when the hand of God will accomplish this, He will extend His blessings not only upon Israel, not only upon the Arab world, but upon the whole world of mankind. And this, the prayer in the lips of all the Lord's people throughout the gospel age. I'm sorry, dear friends, we cannot continue a little further to other information we had, but we know that the problem in Holy Land will not be resolved. This is impossible. The only solution is the kingdom of God. Meantime, let us stand fast and firm in the truth that the Lord has revealed unto us, and watch. And watch the event which will take place. And let us hope, dear brethren, that when this event will take place, we do not read them from our local newspaper. If we read them from our local newspaper, it simply means the little flock has been completed. But let us hope and pray that we will watch them in harmony and in company of our dear Master in the kingdom for which it is our hope to be part of the little flock, the 144,000. So as we are together today in this room, may the Lord help us to fulfill all of our consecrations and be with the Lord when this time of trouble shall come upon the earth. And may the Lord his blessings.